It's Wednesday, the 18th of November, 2015. Happy birthday to Quincy Miller. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Darkwing 30. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can find me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. And if you want to be like Darkwing 30, all you need to do is to sponsor one episode of the podcast is leave a review on iTunes. So thank you to everyone who has done that. It has been fantastic. And don't forget to join in on Moneyball.com.au if you are in Australia or New Zealand. Their biggest prize pool ever tomorrow is an $8,000 tournament is running. Make sure you get involved in that and join in and hopefully win yourself a share of that $8,000 that is up for grabs. All right, let's talk about the action in the NBA. No mucking around.
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Hassan Whiteside, 22 points, 14 rebounds, 10 blocks. A big triple-double for Hassan. He played 34 minutes. He went 10 of 14 from the field, a pretty poor 2 of 9 from the free throw line, but we knew that that was a problem with Whiteside. He is putting up just crazy numbers this year, 15 points, 12 rebounds, 4.5 blocks a game on 63% shooting. So he's firmly established himself as a punt free throw guy, but really good points, you know, great rebounds, big block numbers, and the fact that his free throws are so bad, but in 9 cat overall value on Basketball Monster, he's ranked inside the top 10 because those other numbers are crazy. In his last 2 weeks, he's actually averaging over 5 blocks a game. We haven't had any issues with him in terms of discipline or anything like that. So it looks like if you got him in the 30s or 40s, you got a steal. There was obviously that risk, and that's what pushed him down. And things could still go awry at some point this season. But for now, Hassan Whiteside, just, absolutely killing it, I think is the fair way to put what Hassan Whiteside has been doing. The waiver wire line of the night. Gary Harris of the Denver Nuggets. Harris played 32 minutes. He had 16 points, 3 threes, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals. He's been starting all season. This has clearly been his best performance. He's only averaging 8 points in 25 minutes on the year, but he's averaging a nice 1.2 threes, 1.2 steals on 47 and 73 as his percentages. So there's some okay useful numbers. But he hasn't been anywhere near as good as what he was today. So that sort of form, I don't think you can bank on it. You can use him as a last guy on the bench in a deep 12, maybe with an extra roster spot, something like that. But I don't think that you want to look at him in 10-team leagues. And in standard 12s, I reckon you get more value out of streaming that spot than using him long-term. He could, it's his second season, obviously. He could break out. He could put up some better numbers moving forward. But I think that to put stock in him doing what he did today on an ongoing basis is probably not the wisest investment. The young gun of the night, it goes to none other than Kristaps Porzingis. 29 points for Kristaps, 11 rebounds, 2 threes, 1 block, and just fantastic efficiency. 10 of 17 from the field, 7 of 7 from the free throw line. He hit both of his 3-point attempts. He had one turnover. You know that I've been on the Porzingis train for a very, very long time. Since before the draft, I was big on Porzingis before last year's draft. And he's putting up great numbers in only 25 minutes. 12, almost 13 points, almost a 3, 8.5 rebounds, almost a steal, 1.1 blocks. He's a triple 1 per 36 minutes. The field goal percentage, you want that to come up a bit, and it has. He's on 41% for the season, but the last 4 games he's at 45, so he's starting to trend upwards. And when that comes to 45, 46%, we're looking at a guy who can be a 16 and 10 sort of guy with a steal and a block. I hope everyone that booed him and had issues with him feels like a massive dickhead at the moment, because he is proving a lot. He's still got a long way to go, obviously, but He doesn't have a long way to go in terms of being able to be a decent NBA player. And that's what a lot of people were thinking, that he wouldn't be able to contribute for 2 or 3 years. And he's not only contributing, but he's putting up very, very nice performances. He's clearly a must-own player in every league. He is also the DFS value play of the day. He put up 43.2 FanDuel points at a salary of only 5,400. So he was the best value play of the day in terms of best bang for your buck. The dud of the night. Anthony Davis. That's because he played 6 minutes. But as I mentioned before, when I do this, if a guy plays and plays 6 minutes, that's one game off your Roto games cap. It's one game off your head-to-head matchup. If you've got weekly limits, it's just not good. 0 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist. He missed all 3 of his field goal attempts, so the game hadn't actually started off that well for him anyway. But the issue here is the injury. He had another injury for Davis, a shoulder issue. The Pelicans are understandably cautious with him with injuries, so there's a chance that he misses tomorrow's game as well. He's already missed 2 games with a hip injury earlier this season. He's probably going to struggle to play 70 games again this year, and he's something he's yet to do throughout his NBA career. And it is the one major knock on him is his longevity, not his longevity, his, how do we say it? Durability, that's a better word. So look, obviously you're frustrated if you own Anthony Davis at this point. You can't do anything with it, but had been going back and forth with someone on Facebook about trying to trade for Anthony Davis, and now is a good time. If his owner's just like frustrated, like, this guy can't stay healthy, yeah, he's no good, he's a bum, he doesn't play through anything, he's soft, go low, go really low. Try and send two, like a fourth and a sixth round guy to get Anthony Davis. You might miss 2 games, but it's going to work out in your benefit. And especially if the guy that owns him is someone who's a bit impulsive and a bit impatient, you can get some value by targeting that Anthony Davis owner. It's definitely frustrating, though. There's no other way to get around saying it. It is extremely frustrating as an NBA fan and as a fantasy fan, and especially when you had Anthony Davis in your DFS lineups today. It didn't obviously work out all that well for you in that situation. All right, let's get into these games now and look at the box scores in a little bit more detail. Again, if you're watching on video, you can see the box scores up on the screen, and I do encourage you all to subscribe on YouTube. Hey, you know what? Even if you don't watch it on YouTube, just subscribe on YouTube. Go across, subscribe to the channel on there, and help boost my numbers on YouTube as well. That'd be great if you could help me out in that respect. The first game of the night, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Washington Wizards. We saw Jared Bayless just be great again. 37 minutes for Bayless, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 3 threes. He's got a pretty set role. He's first man off the bench, sixth man, backup point guard, backup shooting guard. He played more minutes than Michael Carter-Williams today. That's a little bit misleading because the game was a blowout, but Bayless has got a 30-minute role pretty much set in stone. And for now, you have to look in 12-team leagues, and he's had value all season, and he's continuing to have value. So you have to look at Jared Bayless. Grievous Vasquez had 12 points in 20 minutes. I don't think we need to be too concerned about him in standard leagues. And just a poor night for Milwaukee in general. Giannis Antetokounmpo's been struggling a little, 9-5-7 for him, a steal and a block, so still helped, but really bad percentage night for Giannis. Michael Carter-Williams played just 22 minutes, 12 points, and nothing else, and Greg Monroe went 4-5-4. So their big name guys really struggled, and they ended up getting destroyed by the Washington Wizards. Interesting to note, though, with Jabari Parker out, of course, Johnny O'Brien played 25 minutes and John Henson played 16, and the hatred of John Henson just continues, and there's no way that you can own him in 12-team leagues. 10 and 6 and a block is nice in 16 minutes, but he can't get any run. I don't really understand it. Otto Porter played really well for the Wizards, 19, 2 and 4, 3 steals, a block, a 3. He's been really solid. If he's available on a 12-team league, that can't happen. He needs to be owned. Yes, there'll be nights when he does struggle and he's not quite as involved. He's more involved because Bradley Beal's out, so take that into consideration. But he's definitely got value moving forward. Garrett Temple got that start with Beal out. 10 points, 2 threes, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. He's only really a daily fantasy option, as is Gary Neal, who went 10 points with a couple of steals and a couple of threes as well. Chris Humphries, 9 points, 21 minutes, a 3, a block. The blocks are okay. The threes are okay. He's just not an exciting 12-team league option. There's some value there, but it's not all that great. And Marcin Gortat, he just can't get anything really happening. 12 and 9 with not much else in 27 minutes. I know a lot of owners are disappointed with him. John Wall went 12, 6 and 9, 2 threes. Just struggling from the free throw line on occasion this year, John Wall. 3 of 6 from the free throw line. I actually drafted Wall in a couple of punt free throw teams, not because I thought he was going to be a bad free throw shooter, but because he wasn't a great free throw shooter. So you always had to have that in mind. He's currently shooting 73% on the field, which is not horrible, but it's not elite. It's not something it's a negative contribution, which is something in general you don't want your point guard to do unless you're in that punt free throw sort of build. And reminder that Bradley Beal was out again with that shoulder issue. And talking about injury prone guys, Beal is another guy who's just struggled to stay healthy throughout his NBA career. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Detroit Pistons. LeBron James, 36 and 3 with 4 threes. good percentages. Another good night from LeBron, and Kevin Love had 19-9. Solid from him. Mo Williams continues to just, you know, steam along. 15-5-7, 2 threes, 29 minutes. We know that his value is going to dip, but for now, he's obviously a must-own guy, and he's a great sell-high guy if someone buys into that. Timofey Mozgov, 28 minutes. His minutes are quite hard to read. He's up, he's down. 10-6, 2 steals, a block. That's a really good performance, but he could go back and play 19 minutes in the next game, so it is tough to own him. Same with Tristan Thompson, who had the reverse Mozgov. He played 21 minutes, 4 points, 9 rebounds, not a lot else, and we know that we don't really care for Matthew Dellavedova or Richard Jefferson or any of those guys off the bench. J.R. Smith, a decent night, 15 points, 3 threes, 2 steals and a block, and he's being dropped in a lot of 12-team leagues, and depending on the way that your team plays out, you can look at J.R. Smith as an option. He definitely has 12-team value. Andre Drummond, another big night, 25-18, 3 steals and a block. We know the story for him, and it's great to see Reggie Jackson getting the assists back going after he really struggled in that last game. 23-6-12. There was that report that came out from Stan Van Gundy saying that Jackson and him had sat down and watched tape to try and look back at what he did last year to get more assists and get more guys involved, and it clearly worked in this game. Now, whether that's a long-term thing, he was 9+ assists last season for Detroit. He's only at 5 this year. He's a better assist guy than that. We could see that trending upwards. You're not going to be able to, you know, buy low on Jackson after this performance, but hopefully you're able to. You didn't panic or sell or anything like that. Ersan Ilyasova, 29 minutes, 20-6 with 4 threes. This is what Ilyasova can do. Unless I see him consistently getting 28 minutes a night, I'm not thinking that he's a must-own guy. Marcus Morris, just completely inefficient. He just really, 36 minutes, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 2 steals, and 4 of 12 shooting. He needs big minutes to put up numbers, and you have to keep owning him because he's not losing those minutes. But once the minutes start going, if they go down to 29, then forget about him. He's got nothing. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, 13 points in 38 minutes for the Pistons. Good win for the Pistons over the Cavs. A really, really solid performance from them. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Miami Heat. Karl Anthony Towns, another double-double, 14-14 with 2 steals and a block. But the big news from the Timberwolves fans and from fantasy owners is the return of Ricky Rubio. He played just 27 minutes in this one, 7-4, 3 assists, 2 steals, a block. Not a great night for him, but it's just good to have him back in the lineup. Because his minutes were a little bit limited here, Zach LaVine still played 28. He went 17-4-3 with a steal and 2 threes. The Wolves do have a back-to-back, so they play again in Wednesday's game. So I'm not really sure. If I own him, I'm not dropping him at this point, but yeah, by the end of the week, I'd be okay doing it. Once we know that Rubio's back to 30 minutes and LaVine's back at that 19-minute range off the bench. Andrew Wiggins had 24 points, 3 rebounds, 3 steals and a block is nice. Poor percentage is been pretty much par for the course for him this season. Not a lot else to really talk about. Kevin Martin, 23 minutes, 8 points. He's not a must-own player in 10 and 12-team leagues at the moment. A really poor shooting night. He went 2 of 11 from the field, and he's just got limited minutes. Nemanja Bjelica, not a great night for him. It dealt with some early foul trouble. 16 minutes, 0 points, missed all 7 of his shots, 4 rebounds, 2 blocks. Now, I mentioned when I was talking about him early, when he was everyone's flavor of the month, we've got to add him. It's because he was hitting threes at like 60% clip. Now, that was never going to continue. He went 0-5 from this one, from 3. He was never a guy that I thought was a must-own player. That obviously still remains the same to me now. The minutes will come back up. He's not going to probably stay at 16, but he's just not a guy that I think does enough in fantasy leagues to be a guy that you have to think is a clear top 100 player. For the Miami Heat, Goran Dragic went 16-2-9, so a good night from him. So if you manage to buy low, you'd be happy with that output. 36 minutes is close to a season high for him, so I wouldn't be looking at that and thinking this is going to be what it's like going forward. Chris Bosh struggled, 10-7. Dwayne Wade, 10-2-6. It was all Whiteside. It was Deng. It was Dragic who put up the big numbers. Luol Deng had 20 points with 3 threes. He's just a really solid 12-team league guy. He's not spectacular. He'll probably never be better than your 11th or 12th player, but he probably won't be worse than most of the guys on the waiver wire. It all depends. Are you looking for upside or are you looking for a solid play? If you're looking for upside, forget about it. If you want just a solid guy, and that becomes more important towards the end of the season, I just want someone who's going to give me what I know he's going to give me. Deng has that value there. 11 rebounds from Justice Winslow in 31 minutes. So he's getting some pretty big minutes off the bench. Gerald Green returned from his suspension and hospitalization, 12 minutes, 2 points, 4 rebounds. The important thing to note here is that Green played 12 minutes, Tyler Johnson played 18, and Beno Udrih didn't play at all. So Johnson is that main backup off the bench in terms of backup point guard and backup shooting guard. It's hard to look at him as a 12-team league guy with 18 minutes, with Green taking the other 11, but I don't want either of them in 12s. In a 14-team league, Johnson gets a slight edge to me over what Gerald Green gets. The Atlanta Hawks and the Brooklyn Nets. Big win for Brooklyn, actually. That's a terrible loss for the Hawks. But still some decent performances from their big guys. Al Horford, 18-5 with 2 blocks and 2 threes. Paul Millsap, 17-6-3, a steal, a block, and 2 threes. And Kyle Korver hit 2 threes for 13-5. So all their big names stuffed the stat sheet, but they were without Kent Bazemore. They were without Jeff Teague. Dennis Schroeder filled in, 8-5-10. So you would have hoped he would have shot better than 3 of 11, but he didn't. But he still got those other ancillary stats. So with Teague and Bazemore unlikely to play again tomorrow, you're going to see more Schroeder. So he remains a guy that you keep holding on to. But once he goes back to that, you know, fluctuating bench role, there's not much there to like. Shelvin Mack actually got some action, 19 minutes for him, 8-2-2. That's only a factor that because Teague was out. And Thiago Splitter moved into the starting lineup. They went small, but he played 12 minutes, which I'm still never going to understand. 2 points, 3 rebounds, and a block for Splitter. And then they went with Thabo Sefolosha, played 30 minutes, 8-7 with a block. We're not really looking at Thabo in fantasy leagues, though. Big night from Thad Young, 16-11 with 5 steals. Lopez went 24-10 with 3 blocks. And Jarrett Jack went 14-3-8, while Joe Johnson went 13-7-9. So their 4 best players put up the best performances of the night, but Shane Larkin got red hot. He played only 14 minutes, but he put up 14 points. 11 shots in 14 minutes is pretty good going. 4 threes and 2 steals. I don't think there's anything to really gain from looking at that, except for the fact that he got hot and was getting a lot of shots. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson played 23 minutes as the starting small forward, 7 points, not much else from him. And Bojan Bogdanovic down to 22 minutes with only 4 rebounds and no points. If you owned him, you can cycle in and out. He's going to be better than that on most nights. Just not a great performance from Bojan Bogdanovic. The Charlotte Hornets and the New York Knicks. Kemba Walker played 38 minutes, 31 points. A really good shooting night for him. 12 of 21, 4 rebounds, 3 steals. He did it all. Al Jefferson couldn't back up his big performance against Portland. He went 10-5. 3 steals and a block, though, is still pretty nice, but just not the dominating interior performance. PJ Hairston was out, and Marvin Williams got ejected in this game after a flagrant 2. He did play 30 minutes before that, and he was very Marvin Williams-ish. 2 points, 1 rebound, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block in 30 minutes. You still have to remain holding onto him, but I've said it so many times, this is closer to what Marvin Williams is than those crazy lines were happening at the start of the season. A bit of a stinker from Nick Batum after his big night against Portland and his Eastern Conference Player of the Week award. 4-6 for Batum, but we don't panic with him. Jeremy Lamb, okay, he's just the best shooter in the world, apparently. 5 of 7 from the field for 12 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists, 23 points. At this point, you have to own him, but I still urge caution. That this is going to, it can't be real. He can't be a 58% shooter. It's just not, it's not possible for a guy just to become, you know, the greatest shooter in the history of the world out of nowhere. Just you know, keep that in mind. He went 5 of 7, and the only 2 shots he missed were from 3. So he hit all 5 of his shots from the field. It can't possibly be sustainable. Mallow had 18 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 blocks in his 37 minutes. Aaron Aflalo, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists. So not a bad night from Aflalo, I'll give him that. And Langston Galloway still got his 28 minutes off the bench. 9 points, which are all 3s, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and a steal. Good to see Kevin Seraphin getting minutes. 21 minutes for him, but it meant that Kylo Quinn was completely out of the rotation. 10-5-4 for Seraphin with 2 blocks. That's really interesting. That's really enticing, and I've talked a lot about Seraphin. Both him and O'Quinn are guys, if they get minutes, they're very fantasy relevant. I don't know how long this stays for. With Seraphin playing so much, Derek Williams played just 6 minutes. Lou Amundson played 7 minutes, which I can get behind as well. So it's something to watch for you 14-team league guys. And that's a couple of games in a row where Seraphin's been really good. So just keep an eye on that situation. Jerian Grant played 13 minutes for 4 points. If you're stashing him in a 12-team league, I reckon you can do much better. If you're in any deeper, I would still hold for a week or two in a 14 or 16-team league and see what happens. But him getting 13 minutes, with Galloway getting 28, Calderon getting 31, and Aflalo getting 36, it's not great for Jerry and Grant's value moving forward. The Denver Nuggets and the New Orleans Pelicans is the next game up. Danilo Gallinari was red hot, 32-8-8, 5 threes in 37 minutes, some great shooting, and Will Barton continued his ride to fantasy immortality, 17-7, 3 threes, 1 steal, 2 blocks. Much like Jeremy Lamb, all of a sudden this guy is the greatest shooter of all time, 58% in this game, 3 or 4 from 3 when he's a guy who was about a 20% shooter from 3, now he's hitting him at 50%, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but you have to own him, because he's able to do things in peripheral categories as well. I don't buy him as being a great player, but for now, it's happening. Kenneth Faried, 11-7, no, that's yuck, 12-3-8 for Emmanuel Mudiay with a steal and 2 blocks, so a decent night there, but obviously murdering your percentages. And in probably the most exciting news of the day, JJ Hixon played just 6 minutes. The Nuggets went quite small. I don't like the fact that they gave Nikola Jokic 40 seconds on the court. That is very disappointing to me. But they went small. They had Faried playing center for a lot of the game. At times they didn't even have a center out on the court. You know, they played with Gallinari out there. But that's fine because they were playing against the Pelicans team that had no Anthony Davis, no Omer Asik. So they weren't that big. The game was just played really small in total. So the Pelicans, as I mentioned, no Asik. Davis went down. Alexei Ajinsa played 4 minutes. They just don't have big guys. You know, Dante Cunningham, Ryan Anderson were the biggest guys out there for the Pelicans. Ish Smith played 38 minutes. He went 13-3-8. And this is a game where Drew Holiday played. Holiday went 10-7 in his 23 minutes. So a big night from Ish Smith. It's just so hard to get a read on what he's going to do. Now, they've got a back-to-back. So if you did pick up Smith, he's probably going to play big minutes again. But they played such a small lineup, such a weird game in terms of lineups, that I don't think it's easy to put too much stock in it. Eric Gordon went 19-6 with a steal, a block, and a couple of threes. He's been really good. Don't buy into Dante Cunningham going 11-5 with 2 steals and 3 blocks. He's been just a whole bunch of zeros this season. And Luke Babbitt had 11-7 with 3 threes. Again, just a really weird game. Ryan Anderson was good, 24-6. He obviously benefits from the fact that there was no Davis and no Asik, so he was just getting a ton of touches. He took the second most shots on, equal most shots on the team, along with Eric Gordon. The last game of the night, which was a game that was mired in controversy officiating down the stretch, the Warriors got the victory over the Raptors. Kyle Lowry, 28-6, 2 steals, a block. DeMar DeRozan, 28-5-6. So big nights from their two big guards. Some stupid issue efforts from Lowry at the end. Going for that two when they were down 3 with 6 seconds left and no timeouts was baffling. Made no sense. Damari Carroll with a huge night as well. 17-2-2, 6 steals, 3 threes. For some reason, he is available on waiver wires. It can't be the case. You need to own him. Now, what the Raptors are doing is they're using a lot of Corey Joseph. 28 minutes for him, 13-5-6, and a steal. His role may be reduced slightly when Terrence Ross comes back, but he's playing that well that I think that he's going to have a pretty consistent minutes role for the rest of the season, and I really like him in 12-team leagues. Jonas Valanciunas went 9-11 on an uncharacteristic 3-of-9 shooting. He provided nothing else, though. And the power forwards, there was not a lot to get excited about there. Luis Scola, 28 minutes, 6-5. Patrick Patterson, 3-2 in his 20 minutes, with Carroll playing a fair bit of 4 as well. Steph Curry, probably a bit disappointed he didn't get the monstrous line of the night. 37-2-9, 2 steals, 5 threes, 13-23. Just another huge night from him. And Draymond Green battled through his illness, 9-9-5 with a 1-1. Andrew Bogut got the start. He only played 17 minutes, and that was due to foul trouble. He was still really productive, 13-6, a steal and a block, good percentages. He was taken out late due to the fouling issues or due to the Hacker Bogut strategy that they employ. But if you're looking at adding Andrew Bogut, I think that he does have some value in 12-team leagues. Good assists, good rebounds, blocks, field goal percentage, there's a lot to be said for him. Andre Iguodala is getting a lot of minutes this season, 7-3-7 for him. Not a very exciting line, but you love his ability to get assists because that's what he's currently doing. Klay Thompson, 19 points, not much else. Still can't achieve anywhere near the levels he was doing last season. If you're buying low, I'm buying real low, like a 70s or 80s ranked player, because the owner who picked him at pick 12 is going to be pretty pissed. They might still be thinking, okay, you know, I invested a first-round pick. I don't want to give him up for someone that low. But at some point, someone's just going to go, I don't want him. I don't want to deal with it anymore. he needs to go, and that's when you can make a beeline for him. Now, I don't think that he's going to become a top 15 player this season, but he could be a top 30 guy, a top 25 guy with a strong second half. The back has clearly bothered Clay Thompson. I don't think we need to be overly concerned that he's just not good anymore or anything along those lines. That just doesn't appear to be something that's going to be a problem for Clay moving forward. All right, that's it for the recap of Tuesday's game. Time for a quick break, and then we'll be back with the daily fantasy action for Wednesday. I saw your picture today. Got me thinking about the things that I would say. But I know you're happy now when you're someplace far away. Away, away, away. And I can't remember the way you taste, you taste, you taste. I walk down your old street, and I wonder if we'll ever meet again. Without a second glance, you turned your back, my friend. This is the end, the end, the end. And I can't pretend I'm ready to be your friend. So don't go, don't you know my face? I'm the one that made your heart break so, so long ago. And don't go, please take my hand. Okay, we're back now. To talk about the games for Wednesday. There are 10 games on, so there's plenty for us to talk about here. From a daily fantasy point of view, it's probably a little bit too much in terms of an ideal slate, but it's something we can clearly work with. The first game of the night, the Indiana Pacers and the Philadelphia 76ers. There is no there's no spread for this one yet, because I guess they're waiting to see a couple of things. George Hill is going to be out here with this illness. Jahlil Okafor is considered probable. He bit his tongue going for a rebound and had a real issue. They thought they were going to have to put stitches in his tongue. That wasn't the case, so that's okay. But Phil Pressey is active. He was dealing with some stomach issues. Daily fantasy value. Lavoie Allen at 3,700 is intriguing. He put up 19 points in the last game. He's averaging over 16 in his last three. 3,700. And what they did without Rodney Stuckey and without George Hill is they went with Lavoie. Lavoie Allen got Miles Turner's minutes, and they played a little bit bigger at times as well. So he's a guy to have a look at in tournaments. I like Jan Mahinmi at 4,700. He's been really solid of late. They're just giving you that nice mid-20s sort of value. And Paul George at 9,200. Going up against the Philadelphia 76ers, yes, it could, or very likely will be a blowout. But George, I think, was still going to put up some really nice numbers. And you've got to spend 9,000 on him. So you've got to take a little bit of caution with using him. But can he give you 50 points? There's a huge chance that he gives you 50 points. I like CJ Miles at 4,600 as well. Nerlens Noel at 7,200 is probably a little bit high for me. He's been averaging only 23.9 in his last three, 24.5 in his last five, and that's not enough at that price. I'd probably leave him alone in this situation. And Jahlil Okafor at 6,700, he's been really good of late. Can he do it again? I'm pretty confident that he can be a decent play for tomorrow. So he is someone to have a look at. Now, opposition centers haven't been great against the Pacers. They haven't been terrible either. So he's someone that you can look to use. I'll be avoiding Nick Stauskas. Source Castillo struggled lately. He's been benched the last two second halves. He put up 3 points in the last game. He was negative in the game before that. He's averaging 8 over his last three. I would have, look, in a tournament, maybe you throw 4,000 out there and hope he goes out and puts 30, because no one's going to be using him. So it's a contrarian sort of play, but it's hard to do. Robert Covington played off the bench. We don't know what sort of minutes he's going to get here, so we're avoiding him, and that means we also, by extension, avoid Hollis Thompson and Jeremy Grant, because if Covington goes back to 30, what does Grant go to? What does Thompson go to? So it's hard to rely on them in that sort of sense. The next game is the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. We have the Hornets here favored by 7, a total of 196.5. No real injuries to be concerned about in this game. Jeremy Lin at 4,600, I think, is a real valuable guy. He put up 21.5 in the last game. He is averaging just 20 in his last five, but at 4,600, I think that he's got a big chance, especially with PJ Hairston out, to put up, get some decent minutes and put up some pretty decent production. Marvin Williams, I said he stunk today, but at 5,200 against the Nets, I think that he looks to get back on track and put up some nice numbers. And as a tournament guy, if you want to go against someone who's not going to be played very often, Bojan Bogdanović put up 5 points today, but at 4,200, I think that he can put up some decent numbers. Kemba Walker at 7,000, he might not be as good as what he was today, but at 7,000 and against the Nets, who aren't awesome, he'll be able to put up some good numbers. And I really like Thaddeus Young again. He was 37 points today. He's only priced at 5,800. He's averaging 35 over his last five. I really like his value. Nick Batum at 7,200. Again, struggled. Look for a bounce back for him. And Jeremy Lamb, the sharpshooting Jeremy Lamb at 4,600. He will get some more play and some more shots without PJ Hairston around. Brook Lopez at 8,000. Not a great matchup for him. I don't think that the opposition centers for against the Hornets don't fare all that well, so we can sort of look to fade the $8,000 on Brook Lopez. Not much else I really need to talk about in that game, I don't think. The next one is the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Orlando Magic. A couple of things we don't know about here. There was a fair few things. Victor Oladipo, apparently he was on the treadmill and could be close to passing the concussion test, so he could be back in action. Evan Fournier has been battling with an illness, so he might be out. CJ Watson's been dealing with a calf problem. Jason Smith's been dealing with a knee problem. So there's a lot of Magic guys that we need to have a look at. And obviously, if these guys don't play, then value changes significantly. If Fournier and Oladipo do play, I really like Fournier at 5,700. I think that we know he's been really good. And Nick Vucevic at 7,800. Look, the Timberwolves have been really good in terms of allowing fantasy points against them for big men. And I might say really good, that they've limited the points that they yield to opposition centers. So Vucevic at 7,800, he is still pretty good, and he's still probably underpriced at that. But going up against the Timberwolves, not sure that it's the greatest situation. But I do like Karl Anthony Towns. He's been awesome this year, averaging 28 in his last three games. He put up 32 today. He's averaging 31 in his last five. He's had a 50-point game this year at 6,800. It's not a no-brainer, but he's definitely a value play. He's sticking with the theme of guys who had stinkers and bouncing back. Nemanja Bjelica at 4,400. He only put up 8 points. He's only averaging 9.6 in his last three. That's really, really bad. I would probably be avoiding him, but a Magic team that doesn't really provide great defense against wing players, maybe he puts up some value. I would probably leave him alone, much as I would do with Ricky Rubio and much as I would do with Zach LaVine. We just don't know exactly how they're going to run that rotation, so to put him into cash game situations, not ideal. 7,000 for Andrew Wiggins is still too expensive for me, and 6,500 for Lord Alfred Payton is not something that I want to spend up on either. The Dallas Mavericks and the Boston Celtics. The Celtics, I tweeted something out today. First of all, I tweeted it wrong, but then I corrected it. They've won, they're 6-4 this season, but all six victories have been by at least 13 points. So when they win, they're just smashing people. And that's, they've had two huge wins in a row, Oklahoma City and Houston. They're now at home facing the Mavericks. They're favored by 4.5, a total of 205. Charlie Villanueva for the Mavericks is questionable with a sore foot, but we don't really care too much about that. What we do care about is a couple of Celtics guys, in particular Jared Sullinger, who's at 5,900, still sub 6,000. He's averaging almost 29 over his last five. That's enough for me. I think that we can use him. Hopefully Brad Stevens doesn't do some sort of trickery and ruin us, but I think we're pretty safe. Sullinger's been really good this season. Amir Johnson at 5,200, he's a little bit more risky. His minutes are more up and down, but he's putting up some really big numbers as well. And Kelly Olynyk remains that tournament option at 3,800. Even though he's priced so low and he's getting variable minutes, he's averaging 17 points in the last five, 22 in his last three, and at 3,800, that's good. That's good for me. Isaiah Thomas at 7,500, just been dominating. He hasn't necessarily had to play big minutes in a lot of. He put up 38.6 in 24 minutes against Houston. That's fantastic. He's averaging 39. I really like him in this situation as well. As for the Dallas guys, it's their big men that I want to look at here: Dwight Powell and Zaza Pachulia. Powell at 46 and Pachulia at 55. Both guys didn't really return value in the last game, but Boston, their big men do allow some fantasy points, so there is a little bit to have a look at there. Who else do we look at? Dirk Nowitzki at 6,500. I reckon you can do better. You can definitely do better than Wes Matthews, and if you think that Chandler Parsons is going to score 20 points in 20 minutes again, I think you're probably going to be disappointed if you're relying upon that for your for your lineup to cash in. The next game is the Portland Trailblazers and the Houston Rockets. The Rockets, they need a win. They need it bad. They are favored by 7, and the total is 209. Patrick Beverley is considered questionable. That's really the only injury we need to have a look at there. And I wouldn't be shocked if when Beverley's healthy that he supplants Ty Lawson as the starter, because Lawson has been probably just one level above shitful. James Harden, what do we do? He put up 17 points in the last game. That's not enough, but he's now under $10,000. Can he get better? He's going up against a defensive backcourt of Lillard and McCollum. Not great. They have been surprisingly good, though, in terms of limiting their opposition fantasy value. So you can have a look at James Harden at 9,900. He's averaging 41. You need him to be better than that. You need him to pushing 50. So he's in a bit of a slump. Does he break out here? That's up to you to take that risk. El-Farouq Aminu at 5,600, I really like. I like Mason Plumlee, at 5,400. And I love CJ McCollum at 6,400. All those guys, I think, are in situations to benefit against a Rockets team that is struggling. The power forward position, I had a bit of a rant the other day about the use of Chris Kaman. Now, if according to form, which is probably something that we can't rely upon, Terry Stotts, in the three games that Myers Leonard has missed, has gone Kaman, Vonleh, Kaman. The two Kaman games were against big lineups, against the Grizzlies and against the Spurs. Vonleh came in a game against the Hornets. Now, the Rockets, they're not big. They're going to play Dwight Howard, and then Terrence Jones is their power forward. They're not traditional big men, and they'll play a Reaser at the foursome as well. So I see Vonleh getting the start here, and you obviously want to pay attention and see if you can find anything out before the game. But at minimum salary in a tournament, if Vonleh plays 25 minutes, maybe he gets hot, maybe he goes off, and maybe he puts up 20 points, and then that's a great start for your lineup. I still like Terrence Jones at 5,900. He's been awesome since he came back. I'm clearly avoiding Dwight Howard and Ty Lawson, although this is probably one of the better matchups that Dwight Howard will face this season. So if you're ever going to use Dwight Howard at 8,000, now is the time. 9,200 for Damian Lillard. It's probably too expensive for me. We know he's got a history of putting up big numbers against Houston, but 9,200 is quite expensive. Would I prefer spending that extra 700 and getting James Harden? I'm pretty sure I would, even though the two are only averaging 2 points, 41.3 versus 39.3 over their last four games. I still think that Harden has more of the ability to put up a bigger line here than what Damian Lillard does. Clint Capella in a bench role, we're not really worrying too much about him. And nor Marcus Thornton, who the ride is pretty much over. The Sacramento Kings and the Atlanta Hawks. The Hawks will be looking to bounce back after that disappointing loss to the Nets. They are favored by 3.5 only, the Hawks, and that's because we're not expecting to see Jeff Teague, nor are we expecting to see Kent Bazemore for the Hawks. The total is 208.5, and the Kings have got to look for the status of Willie Cauley-Stein, who's got a head injury, not a concussion, a head injury, and Darren Collison, who is probable, and he should return from a hamstring. Now, we don't know what to expect from Collison returning, so that means I'm avoiding Collison, and I'm avoiding Rajon Rondo, who's been awesome. He's averaging 45 over his last five, but the trend before Collison got hurt was for Collison to play more minutes. So I'm avoiding both of those in all cash games. Dennis Schroeder at 4,800, you pretty much have to use him in cash games. And he put up 26 today, which is pretty good at that salary. The salary hasn't changed yet. If you want to go a tournament option, a guy like Kostas Koufos at 3,800, maybe he gets a few more minutes. The Hawks do allow some pretty big points to opposition centers, so maybe he gets a bit of a bump there, but I'm not trusting him in cash games. And Justin Holiday, he struggled today. He did play 23 minutes, so that was encouraging. Didn't get many points up, and maybe you can look at him in a tournament too. Paul Millsap at 8,300 is great value, I still think, here. And DeMarcus Cousins, he should be able to tear Atlanta, pretty much a new one. He's at 10,700. We know how awesome he's been. He's hitting threes at a ridiculous rate. Long live DeMarcus Cousins. If you don't want to spend up there, you can go 3,000 less and play Al Horford, and he's going to be pretty good as well. So I do like Al Horford here. And I'll be leaving Rudy Gay alone and Ben McLemore from the Kings. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the New Orleans Pelicans up next. The Thunder are favored by 8.5. It's a total of 213.5 points. Russell Westbrook, 11,500. This is against a team who is putrid in terms of defending point guards. 11,500. If I'm ever spending 11,500 on someone, it is probably going to be Westbrook in this matchup. He's averaging 54 over his last five, and there's a massive chance he goes for 60 plus in this one. So this is the situation where I really like him. I like Ish Smith as well. We're thinking that Drew Holiday won't play the second half of a back-to-back. 5,400 for Ish Smith. He was awesome again today. This is a great opportunity to play him. Steven Adams at 4,400 has been really solid, probably surprisingly solid to a lot of people. Averaging almost 20 with a pretty decent game last time. He's been definitely preferred over Enes Kanter down the stretch, so you can look to use him. Probably tournaments, though. Serge Ibaka at 7,200, that's too expensive for me. Anthony Davis, we don't know if Anthony Davis is even going to play, so obviously we need to pay attention to that. If he doesn't, Eric Gordon gets a bump, Ryan Anderson gets a bump, Omer Asik never gets a bump, and Alexia Ginza probably gets, yeah, I'd say probably, but Davis missed this game, and Ginza played 4 minutes. So, but again, that was a weird game. That was that weird rotation with the Nuggets, so you'd think that Ginza maybe gets close to 20 minutes in this game. But again, we don't. That's assuming Davis doesn't play. We have no idea what Elvin Gentry is going to do with that lineup. The Denver Nuggets and the San Antonio Spurs is up next. The Spurs is a whopping favorite, 13.5 points, a total of 195.5. That all that sort of screams stay away. Although Danny Green at 4,200, he's still really enticing. Started to get back on track, and 4,200, it's hard to avoid him. Kawhi Leonard 8,500. Don't think it's a great situation, and that's not because he's not going to kill the Nuggets. It's because he might only play 25 minutes. Same with Manu Ginobili, he might play 17. And Tim Duncan and LaMarcus Aldridge and Tony Parker, I'm probably avoiding all of those guys. I don't mind Emmanuel Mudiay at 5,900, but he's going into the Spurs, and this is just going to shut him down. Same with Will Barton at 5,000. A Spurs matchup is not a great situation for him. And in most situations, outside of Danny Green and maybe Emmanuel Mudiay, I don't think it really bodes well for a lot of these players. You can use some of these guys like Leonard, but yeah, the chance of them just falling way below value is too high for me. The Raptors and the Jazz. The Jazz are favored by 4.5. This is an extremely low total, 189. Tibor Pleiss is a... He didn't play in the last game, so we don't know if he's going to play, so he's no factor anyway. Rudy Gobert, he's down at 7,700, and this is getting more like it. At 7,700, we can start looking at using Gobert, not that $8,000 price tag. Rodney Hood at 4,600 is tremendous value to me. He put up 26 in the last game. He's looked really good this season. And Derek Favors and Gordon Hayward are both pretty solid cash game plays. Hayward did struggle in the last game, but I think that he's in a situation where he can put up some nice numbers. For the Raptors, Kyle Lowry at 8,600, that's too expensive. DeMar DeRozan at 78, no thank you. Valanciunas, no way. Damari Carroll at 5,800, there's a little bit to like there, but again, against Utah, most of these guys, and with 10 games on as well, you can head in a different direction. The Chicago Bulls and the Phoenix Suns is the last game of the night. The Suns are favored by 2.5 points. The total is 200. Derrick Rose, with that ankle problem, he is doubtful. Let's just consider Derrick Rose not going to play. Markieff Morris will likely play for the Suns. He's probable with a knee issue. He looks like he's got a great matchup at his salary as well, but do you trust him coming off the knee injury? I probably don't. Aaron Brooks at 4,000. Now, this is a weird one. Now, Brooks was out of the rotation in the last game. Kirk Heinrich may get the start. Brooks might get the start. I don't know how it's going to work out. But at 4,000, Aaron Brooks in a tournament, he can go out there, he can put up 27, he can put up 30 points. And at 4,000, that's going to definitely help put you very high up in the money. So yeah, if it's Kirk Heinrich or Aaron Brooks you're choosing between, it's definitely Brooks. Now, if Brooks is in, then Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight should be able to put up huge numbers. Brandon Knight was awesome in the last game. He's at 7,600. Eric Bledsoe's at 84. I like both of them in this game. And Jimmy Butler at 7,800. He's pretty solid, but I think that this is a nice matchup for him as well. I reckon that he can return value at that price tag. Tyson Chandler's struggled a lot, as has Nikola Mirotic. You can look at them in tournaments and hope for some big bounce back, but I'm avoiding them in cash games. And it's just going to be really interesting for even season long to see what Nikola Mirotic does in this game. TJ Warren, Joakim Noah, Alex Len, these are all guys that I probably want to steer clear of in this matchup as well. The value is in the Phoenix guards and in Jimmy Butler and probably Aaron Brooks. All right, that does it for today's podcast, guys. Make sure you are subscribing on iTunes and on YouTube and leaving a review and follow me on Twitter at @redrock_bball. Closing in on a pretty big milestone, which again, I'll announce in the next couple of shows. So I'm looking forward to being able to do that. That's it. We're done. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.